And I think Representative Loeffler understands it. And this is Senator Pogemiller's bill and Representative Kahn's possibly.
Yes.
And Senator Skoy was telling me almost he tried to go there, but it was closed. So
he must have picked the wrong night of the week.
So Representative Loeffler, you want to tell us what this is and tell us why Senator Skoy wasn't able to eat there?
Madam Chair, I'm sure it was because of a scheduling error, or it could have been they just got overwhelmed and wore out the staff because it's a very popular place, always shows up on the top recommended lists of various groups that like good home-cooked, local, using locally grown meats and vegetables as much as they can. And they happen to have gotten caught up into something called the Downtown Service District, which we have fixed, except that we put in a provision that referred to a liquor license, and they have a wine license, which is different in Minneapolis. And so we need to have a technical fix to make it apply to a restaurant that has a wine license.
Okay, so is it in both bills?
Yes.
Okay, it's in both bills. We've already adopted it.
Let's fix it.
Okay, so what is the exact motion or fix we need, Ms. Dalton, that Representative Loeffler wants to make?
And Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Madam Chair, I did do some research on Almas, and I went Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and I thought a family restaurant will serve breakfast, but I think they're more of an evening place after I was there. But look, I'm going to go back and try it some evening.
And now they'll be able to serve wine.
And, Madam Chair, as I get there before we start taxing alcohol, it'll be cheaper.
Yes. So we'll have a few days. Wait, this bill isn't signed yet. Okay, so is everybody okay with that motion? Representative Loeffler, is that your motion? Maybe you should...
I'll move it.
Okay, so Senator Skoy moves changing the word liquor to wine in both the regular section and the...
effective date.
The effective date. Everybody understand that? Do you want to say that again?
Yeah.
Just so we all get that, Mr. Hasty.
It's in Article 3, Section 8, and House Article 10, Section 37.
Okay. So we all have that? So that's Senator Skoy's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Okay. So that's adopted. That changed.
Senator Skoy. Aren't going to get things accomplished tonight.
Exactly. So, and then Mr. Michael has a lodging, he brought to attention a lodging issue, and obviously we won't vote on it. We just want the Senate conferees to know what it is. We heard two bills of Representative Lesch's, and it's all about this, you know, who's booking the hotel room, and I think Minneapolis is suing. And so he had two versions. We picked one, and now I think Mr. Michael is saying we need something different here. So maybe Mr. Michael can just tell us what it is, and then we can think about it and look at it tomorrow.
Madam Chair, members of the conference committee, this would be an alternative to Article 10, Section 46 of the House bill, which more or less is a directive to the Department of Revenue to use every possible method to collect the existing hotel and lodging tax. The department has pointed out and during the hearing on this bill was sort of recognized that that may not be effective in actually generating additional revenue that's not being collected. And the problem, just to refresh everybody's mind, is that hotels, motels, and other facilities in Minnesota enter into arrangements with online reservation companies and other resellers of their rooms, and will sell rooms. For example, one pattern is that they will sell rooms in a block to one of these online travel companies, who then in turn through their websites resell those rooms. And what's currently happening is the lodging tax is being paid on the price that's being paid on the first sale, but not on the higher price on the second sale. And there are a variety of issues involved with whether or not we have nexus to actually collect from if we just go after the online company that's not actually located in Minnesota and so forth. What this amendment does is a way to increase the probability of collecting tax on that differential between the price that the Minnesota hotel charges to the online company to the price that actually is charged to the person that stays in the room. This amendment proposes to make three changes. First of all, it clarifies the definition of what's taxable under the lodging tax to say that the services that are provided by the online reservation companies and those entities that are in that business is part of the services that are subject to tax under the lodging tax. So that's the first part, which shows up on lines 1.2 through 1.4. So that there can't be any argument that they're providing some non-taxable service that's not covered by the lodging tax. The second part of the amendment modifies the definition of sales price in the sales tax law to say that the sale price includes the additional charge, essentially, that these resellers of the hotel rooms are providing. The third change modifies the nexus rules under the sales tax to say that in these instances, when a hotel enters into a contract, when a Minnesota hotel, for example, enters into a contractual arrangement with one of these remote sellers of their rooms, that they, in their contract with the seller, has to either get the seller to agree that it will collect the sales tax by registering with the Department of Revenue, or alternatively, then the hotel itself will decide to collect the sales tax. The Department of Revenue is now looking at this, and I think in general the thought is that this will actually make it possible to collect tax from these remote sellers who are not now paying the tax on that differential between what the Minnesota hotel is selling the rooms to the online seller. The department is still looking at this, and there's a few loose ends to be tied up. There's currently both Minneapolis and St. Paul are looking at beginning lawsuits against these companies to collect back taxes. One of the concerns, I think, might be that this will make it more difficult for them to prevail in that litigation. And so I'm going to contact the lawyers that are involved with that and, you know, run this by them. There may be some changes that could be made that will sort of not have an adverse effect on that, or that may actually help their lawsuits. So that's one thing that's yet remains to be done. But I think we're thinking that this actually could, you know, result in the collection of, say, $1 to $3 million of additional revenue per year that's not now being collected on these purchases, because that sort of gap between the two prices is not being taxed.
Thank you. Senator Scully.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Michaels. So just so I understand what's going on, we've got people that book a motel room or a hotel room online, one of those discount deals, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And then they come in and they do use the word first sale and second sale. So the first sale is what the hotel collects for the room or charges for the room. And then the second sale is what the hotel remits to the person who did the booking. Is that, am I getting that what you said?
Well, the two ways to think about this is, let's say I'm booking a hotel room through hotels.com or one of those, you know, Orbitz, Travelocity or Expedia or whatever, and I pay a price of $150 and I just pay that to the online company. That's the second sale in my example. The first sale is that the online company will buy a block of rooms at a discounted rate from the hotel. So maybe they're buying the hotel rooms. The hotel will say, we'll sell you, you know, 10 rooms a night for a period of time for $100 per room, which they're then reselling for $125 or $150. And what's happening now, I believe, is that the hotel, you know, who has Nexus here and who's complying with our sales tax, is remitting tax on that lower number, the $100 in my example. And when I'm actually, you know, buying the hotel room and paying $150, and none of this is transparent. You get, you know, you might pay just a fixed rate, or you might have some, you know, something that gets added on that's labeled fees and taxes, so it may, you know, it may include that original tax and some other charges or whatnot. But I think what the general thinking is that in a lot of these transactions, the tax is not being paid on the difference between those two prices.
Mr. Clay.
And, Mr. Chair, Mr. Michaels, then, so would we be assessing lodging tax on Travelocity or whatever company it is? I mean, is that their service costs and their fees? And would that be then included in the lodging tax? Or,
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Senator Scoia, yes. Essentially, the way this is written is whatever they're charging the consumer, the customer, for their service would be taxable, whether that's denominated as, you know, charge for the room or an additional fee or something like that. So, yes, the idea would be in defining what the sale price would be is it's the total charge to the customer for staying in the room.
So, Madam Chair, so is it that total cost, or is it the cost that the hotel is actually getting for their room? And that those are the two numbers that we're deciding between.
Madam Chair, Senator Scoia, it would be the higher number, because I think what we're doing now is we're collecting it on the lower number,
in many
instances, and that's what's creating this sort of compliance gap problem. And there are a number of cities, and there are these lawsuits that are going on in a number of other states and cities where their cities are trying to collect that difference from those sellers. And you know, all of that litigation, from what was testified to in the House committee, is ongoing. They've won some in the trial courts, but it's not clear that any cities or states have yet actually collected. But they've won judgments, but they're on appeal and so forth.
Did the Senate hear these bills? We heard two.
We didn't hear this bill, no.
They were late. It was Representative Lesh, and I think St. Paul, Senator Moore's not here, I think St. Paul or Minneapolis or both are suing these folks, one or the other. I'm not sure who it is, but so Representative Lesh had them. We just wanted to explain that, so maybe folks can pass it on to Senator Bach so he knows what that's about. Okay, so Article 4, mandates. Representative Mark Rover, you can talk about that.
It's a good one to get done.
Each 30 of the side by side. Mark Rourke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, there were in that article which dealt with the mandate relief and the local government flexibility, there was a few where we're similar. Section 9, for example, if we go to Section 9, Article 4, Section 9, page 32, abandonment, end of operation as a cemetery, and it looks like it's the same in the Senate. Page 32. I might have a different one.
Section 9.
Section 9.
I thought we did that.
Oh. Did we do it? I don't have it marked.
No.
You should do these.
We haven't. Okay.
Can you do these 9, 10?
Looks like, you know, 9 and 10, compensation for fence viewers. That seems to be identical.
I think we should talk about the differences in 7 and what we've got there, but we'll hold off on adoption.
Okay.
So
And on Section 12, all they're doing is, last year we changed the Uniform Municipal Contracting Law. We upped things like at what point do you have to go out for bids if it's from 50 to 100,000, and then if it's either a bid or you could take a quote from like 25,000 to 100,000. But we didn't update the advertising portion of that. So this is all that does. It looks like you're the same also on number 12. Section 13 and 14 seem to be the same. So it actually 9 through 14 are similar.
What about number 7? What's the difference there, Madam Chair? Does staff know?
Rep. Marquardt, or did staff hear that? Senator Box wanting, or Senator Scoyes wanting to know Section 7, the difference between the House and Senate.
You know, Madam Chair, you've confused Senator Bach and I twice now.
I know.
And let me, just to help you out, he's the debater, I'm the listener.
Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, the main difference is that in Senate File 3, they provided one more exception from having a rule go into effect on one of the two authorized dates, and that is if the agency has been directed by law to adopt the rule or to commence the rulemaking process.
Oh, okay. No.
Want to do that one?
I don't.
You want to do that with your
own? You want to do that?
I mean,
you
just talked
about
this.
We weren't going to adopt when Chair Clark wasn't there. I think he'll be back, yes.
Oh. I'm
going to wait for that.
You know when?
Well, maybe 10:30, 11.
Oh. Does anyone have any information on that, or is that just a guess?
It's a guess.
Okay. Representative Marquardt, is there anything else?
Well, out of Article 4, that's the main stuff other than the Legislative Commission on Mandate Reform, which is new. Otherwise, that's it. And then Section 15 and strike some booking fees, and then 16 is Legislative Commission on Mandate Reform. So a lot of similar other than the actual that Legislative Commission.
Senator Scoyes, do you think that you and Representative Marquardt can just work that out and then when we have people to vote, we could just adopt them? I mean, they don't seem too different, right?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't see any reason we couldn't work these out. They're identical, very similar, sure. And then so the next time we meet, we could just whip through this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Johnson, please. Yes.
Madam Chair, are we going to remove the grants in Section 5?
What page of the side-by-side is that?
30.
Representative Marquardt?
Madam Chair, I mean, that's something we need to talk about. That's something in our side, but not on the Senate side.
Oh. Yes, Subdivision E.
Subdivision 5. Or Section 5, is that Senator Johnson
yep.
referring to? Yeah, that's where there would be some grant money to local government associations to make recommendations and research mandate reform. So that's something that needs to be talked about.
So you're pushing for removing it, Senator Johnson? Okay.
Madam Chair?
There's Ms. Dalton.
I might be able to shed a little information on that. I think there may be, and I'm hoping it's just in the summary and not in the section, but if it's in the section, I think the use of the term grant was a bad choice of terms. What this commission would use $100,000 for is not really grants. What it's going to use it for is essentially contracts with like the townships or the League of Minnesota Cities or a research institution to essentially do research on the impacts of these mandates. So it's not granting anybody money to go do something. It is essentially a contract for research. And those are allowed under the Constitution.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, this is something, if both Senator Skoy, if we can go over Article 4, we can talk about that.
Okay. Is there anything else anybody else wants to talk about while we're here? Ms. Cadoon, is there anything you want to talk about? Do you want to provide us with some direction? Are you giving reports to the governor? Are you telling him how we're doing down here? Is that Commissioner Inez's job?
I believe you're televised, so I know if there are people watching the governor's office.
Oh, good. Should we all wave?
Commissioner Inez also, I'm sure, is providing updates.
Okay. So, Representative Seifert, you got any big insights into how we're going to get out of here on Thursday at midnight?
Ready to move engrossment of the bill and ready to sign it right now.
We spent $28 million already. You sure you want to sign that?
Better that than $2 billion. I don't know. We don't have a quorum here on the Senate side, so it's tough to adopt anything without three people.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything? How about the Senate staff or the House staff? Can you think of anything we can do quick? Without three votes on the Senate side.
You can't even undo things.
We can. I know there was another senator around. We'd round her up. But
no, they're around somewhere.
They're around. Okay. Do you want to talk about the Mall of America?
Can we get it done?
Well, not, I guess you guys aren't ready to take any motions, but should we talk about that tomorrow?
Well, if you have three votes on your side, I think I could round.
No, we have. We can vote on the Senate provision and have it get defeated. You don't want to talk about that either.
No, probably not.
Senator Skoy, is this right now? I thought Senator Bach said, not to me, in the committee on the tape. This is what I recall. He said the Metson bill, which has the loan guarantee plus other provisions for other stuff and the Mall of America and more, is being passed out, is going to get through taxes and off the floor and be brought to the Tax Conference Committee. Is that right?
Madam Chair, it's going to be heard in Tax Committee tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And we'll see how it fares in the Tax Committee, and then we'll see what the route is. So, you know, we're going to hear the bill.
We're going to hear it, too.
Oh, good. Who's carrying it in the House?
Representative Sertich.
Oh, very good. So it has a good chance.
Parts of it may.
Parts of it.
Because there's a lot of different things in there, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So, okay. Does anybody have anything else? Well, with that, members, we're going to adjourn. Have a good evening. We're adjourned. Senator Skoy.
Well, somebody should figure out tomorrow.
Will?
Yeah.
Would you like to speak for people who aren't here?
I think I'm going
to right
have
ahead.
To.
Senator Skoy, we're not adjourned, I guess, because I didn't quite.
What is the session scheduled tomorrow?
Noon.
And what are you guys doing for session tomorrow?
9:30.
And we have Tax Committee after session.
After.
But we'll be off the floor, I would guess, ahead of you guys.
That's why I'd recommend at the call of the chair.
Yeah. And we will shoot for after your session before your Tax Committee?
After Tax Committee. Or do we want to recess and wait for Senator Box coming back? Everyone's giving me the no, don't you dare. I just want you to all tell him that he would do that. I wouldn't do that. Make sure you all tell him that. I would never do that, but he would.
Madam Chair, I think we should, for committee tomorrow, at the call of the chair, and I would like to remind the staff at the round table that we are going to have Tax Committee tomorrow, so if we could, you would have to clean the table. I think we can probably leave this one here.
Okay. Thank you.
What realm?
Representative Seifert?
Madam Chair, what realm of time frame are we looking at? Like, definitely not the morning because you guys have regular taxes and session.
Yeah.
So probably after the last body adjourns.
That would be my guess, Representative Seifert. And I think I heard a relatively short session for the Senate, 2:30, 3 o'clock maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, everybody just read your postings.
Representative Harcourt. You know, we're going to have some late nights coming up. And so the chair and I thought for tonight, for all staff and members, there is a 10 p.m. curfew. for everyone. And we will be calling to make sure everyone is home. We're going to need sleep. So 10 p.m. curfew is
bed check.
In bed check tonight. So we got to get the sleep.
Enjoy your evening. We're adjourned.
I can't.